Good morning, everybody. How about we start this off with the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Mr. Massey, would you lead us in the pledge?
I will. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, welcome, everybody. Good morning. I want to introduce our board to you. On my far right is our Irene Tynes from Crescent City. Next to me is Mr. Bill Massey from Forestville. And to my left is Jeff Hales from Eureka. I'm David Noren from Sebastopol on a wonderful Thursday morning. And we have our staff here today. Mr. St. John, would you please introduce our staff?
Yes, good morning, Chairman Noren and members of the board. I'm Matt St. John, Executive Officer. David Leland, our Acting Assistant Executive Officer, just had to step out. To my right, our staff counsel, Samantha Olson and David Rice. Helping us on sound is Elena Francesca, I'm very sorry. Donna Poe and Greg Nash is helping us with all things IT. Good morning.
Thank you, Matt.
Water.
I want to remind people. I want to remind
it.
People that we have a
but
couple
of
presentations
of water
this morning.
Tap
just
water. Most of us would say bottled water is a better choice.
Nice. If anybody wants to speak at public forum or any of our agendized items, please make out a speaker card. I believe they're out in the hall, and you could get them to our staff here, to Patty, and feel free to get that done. Right now, we'll do board ex parte communication disclosure, where board members identify any discussions they may have had requiring disclosure.
Mr. Chair, since our last meeting, I have met with state and local officials regarding West County sewer issues.
Always.
Only.
Thank you, Mr. Massey, for your service.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Hale.
And since our last meeting, I've met with Mike Miles and Mike Janai, Humboldt Redwood Company, just to talk about THP review process and timelines. And I also attended with board member Heidi Harris, the most recent Humboldt County Farm Bureau meeting.
Fantastic. Thank you. I'd let you know that I attended a Farm Bureau roundtable with Matt St. John, which was very interesting, a regulatory roundtable with Sonoma County Farm Bureau. Very informative. A lot of regulatory there, a lot of NGOs that were working on that front. And I've also had some really good conversations with some of our local ag community talking about the ag waiver program and the ag land discharge program. So those have been fruitful as well. This morning we have Mr. Steve Moore from our state board liaison. And on the record, Steve, I'm going to take your thunder here for a minute. Steve was reconfirmed yesterday by the state senate to the state board. So a hearty congratulations from Region 1, Steve. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
No small feat. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Noren, and members of the regional board, North Coast Region, and I really appreciate that. My liaison report today is going to be fairly brief because I'm recovering from the grilling by the good senators of the state of California. But that said, you know, they're very appropriate questions all the way. It's just difficult answers when it comes to water quality and water rights in the state. So I'd like to pass on some news. Sure, I was confirmed by the Senate for this appointment, which is a high honor for me, and I appreciate it. But better news is that Tam Dodick was reappointed to the State Water Board, and she sends her good wishes to all of you, board members and staff. Also, Fran Spivey Weber, our vice chair, was reappointed by the governor yesterday. And we have a new chair of the State Water Board, Felicia Marcus, which we're very happy about that decision. And so we've kind of reshuffled the deck, but I think it's all very good. You've probably heard about Chair Charlie Hoppin's retirement announcement about a month ago. We're going to miss him very much. He's been a great leader for the State Water Board, and his final meeting will be next week, on Tuesday. And so we wish him well. He has a family farm that takes a lot of his time, and he's a hard worker and a great family man, and we wish him his best moving forward. We're going to miss him. So good news, I'd say, all around moving on. And I will go into a little bit of updates from the State Water Board. You know, when the questions I fielded from our good senators revolved a lot around the Bay Delta issues, which don't necessarily touch closely home here. But I am glad to let everyone know who's here that in the Bay Delta discussions, the Eel River did not come up. Klamath River did not come up. Which is a little different than, let's say, a couple decades ago. So I think that's we're making progress in those areas. So in terms of my normal updates, there has been a lot of activity since I met you last in January. One of the accomplishments of the State Water Board that I'm happy about is the adoption of the Phase 2 MS4, which is the general NPDES permit for stormwater discharges from smaller cities, urban areas around the state, places that have less than 100,000 people. And for me personally, one of the real milestones of this permit, notwithstanding the fact that it was four drafts, and then the fourth draft finally was adopted, but what that shows, you know, process-wise, was our responsiveness and our staff working closely with regions and stakeholders to try to make this permit, while making progress on water quality protection, stormwater from urban areas, also being responsive to input. And so we had a lot of folks that were complimentary to our staff and I think regional boards staff demonstrate this as well, is that when we get comments on our draft permits, you know, as board members and as staff, we take those comments very seriously. And because we don't know everything, and when we put initial drafts out, we learn a lot through the process of the comments that we receive and the adjustments we make. And so to the punchline, we have a provision in this general statewide permit. It's known as E12. Provision E12 lays out minimum guidelines for low impact development for our smaller cities around the state. It's, for me, it's a floor, minimum level for what I think is a technical revolution in civil engineering. I'm a civil engineer. It's how we develop land to manage runoff, low impact development. And I think we'll look back to 2013 as an important year for getting these minimum guidelines for low impact development into the Phase 2 permit. And so we'll talk more about that in terms of the Phase 1 type work. But it's all in alignment in terms of numeric guidelines for what kind of storm you design your parking lot, your shopping center, your redevelopment project, and how you set it up in terms of how you manage drainage. It's very exciting to me.
Fantastic. So, hey, Steve, can I ask you a quick question about Phase 2? So you, State Board, adopted that.
Yes, February 5th.
Fantastic. As far as implementation time schedule for that to be, again, put out implementation, is that a one-year cycle? How long are we talking about before we see Phase 2 come out to our end of the regulatory?
Well, it's adopted, so it's not like a regulation, like a basin plan amendment or a statewide plan. It's a permit.
Right.
So it's in effect. And now folks will file to be in compliance with the general permit.
Okay, great.
And there's timelines that are associated with that within the permit. So I would, without getting into too much detail, just use that as the guidepost. But I wanted to highlight low impact development and how I think that's important for California. It relates to how water runs off in watersheds. And that's the two sides of the coin, the stream, the wetlands, and the watershed that drains to them. Upcoming events, issues that would be of interest in North Coast include ocean plan amendments. There aren't necessarily desalination facilities contemplated here, but we are looking at a comprehensive desalination policy amendment to the ocean plan. And that will be, our proposals are based on three different scientific panels, and that will be coming out next month, our proposed policy. We're working on the trash policy for the state of California, marine debris, plastic debris, and that should be coming out next month as well. We just adopted the general permit for application of for aquatic weed control herbicides, and it's an NPDES permit general that applies to the whole state. And we worked closely with stakeholders there and adjusted our timeline for implementation to be responsive to those that would control aquatic weed nuisance conditions and still protect water quality. Yes, and I think briefly, you've probably heard about some legislation that's contemplated. There's a 2-year cycle for legislation, and so in the last couple months, you've probably heard about new legislative ideas being introduced. There are a lot of issues that touch on the water boards. One of which, interestingly, both the Senate and the Assembly are looking at how we manage the drinking water program in the state. And so there's proposed legislation currently, proposed legislation to move the drinking water regulation under the State Water Board. It's currently under the Department of Public Health. And the reason why, there are a lot of reasons that it's being contemplated. I heard EPA's head of water, Jared Blumenfeld, give a talk a couple weeks ago. And he mentioned that California is number one in unspent funds for drinking water SRF, State Revolving Fund. We're one of the only states in the whole country where the Clean Water State Revolving Fund and the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund are not in one house. The State Water Board administers the clean water, the wastewater type grants and loans. And the Department of Public Health administers the drinking water program. So California is number one in the country for unspent drinking water funds. And so that's a big problem for EPA. The State Water Board, our staff are great at moving money. We're one of the best in the country. When the ARRA came out, we spent every bit of that money, in terms of covering for, unspent bonds and wastewater projects and stormwater projects. We're very proud of that. Department of Public Health is an agency that has a lot of important issues on public health and deals with, disease outbreaks, extremely important things. The water part of Department of Public Health, the perception and the reality both, is it's not the thing that gets management's attention as much. So the folks that are concerned about drinking water for disadvantaged communities are very frustrated with that governance structure. So that's at the heart of AB 145 and SB 117 in terms of, AB 145, SB 117. These are proposed bills that would move the governance of drinking water under the State Water Board. Now, as a water board member, I would not advocate for one thing or another. We're interested in the pros and cons and all that. There's a lot of ways to, quote-unquote, skin the cat, in terms of elevating the importance of drinking water protection in this state. There's over 200 communities that don't have safe and affordable drinking water, okay? Is that an acceptable condition in the state of California? No. So with that challenge ahead of us, there's different ways we can approach governance. And, you know, we want to elevate the importance of drinking water protection. You know, it could be moved under us. It could be a separate entity under Cal EPA. So there's a lot of ways to go about this. In the end, we want to spend these federal monies, you know, for our disadvantaged communities to make sure they have safe drinking water. So lots of folks are working on it. We made a couple million dollars available for some stopgap drinking water needs in some disadvantaged communities in October. But we're cautious about that because you don't want to give drinking water to a community and then when our cleanup and abatement money runs out, what then happens, right? So we were careful to structure it so that it was for communities that had a solution in the works as a stopgap measure, because that's about the level of funding the State Water Board can really provide. So it's an important issue. It came up during my my hearing, you know, and we certainly care deeply about that and consider it a priority among many. On in the North Coast, you know, the in-stream flows policy, AB 2121. We talked about it. Oh, sorry. Yes, please.
May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
First of all, as you know, I'm from Del Norte Crescent City, and thank you to the State Revolving Loan Fund because our wastewater treatment plant would never have happened without, and it's been very successful for us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Managing that. And do you know who the authors are on these bills? Do you?
Sure.
Because yeah. I think that's rather significant on whether or not they're going to move quickly and have political backing.
Yeah, the AB 145 is sponsored by Perea and Rendon, and SB 117, and so that's Perea, P-E-R-E-A, and Rendon, R-E-N-D-O-N. And the Senate bill, 117, is proposed by Senator Rubio, R-U-B-I-O.
Yeah. Thank you.
My pleasure. We're working on reissuing the supplemental environmental document for the North Coast in-stream flows policy. Board members consider this important. There was, you know, a lawsuit that found that we didn't consider the potential impacts of pumping shallow groundwater. And so the environmental document was brought back to us. So we are working to address that issue. We've analyzed a little in more depth what kinds of potential impacts would be associated with moving from stream diversions to adjacent shallow groundwater diversions. So staff's done a commendable job of looking at this pretty comprehensively. You know, the upshot is we believe this additional analysis has confirmed our original proposal and that additional mitigation is not warranted. And so this will come out next month. You know, and to get on my opinion box a little bit, I'm not real sure there was value added, you know, for environmental protection with this lawsuit on the North Coast in stream flows brought by environmental interests. But it's a good challenge for us to look a little harder at, you know, potential environmental impacts. But in the end, we've confirmed what we think was the right thing to do. And we want to engage and work cooperatively with the environmental interests on these issues. But sometimes, you know, by delaying implementation like this, does the environment really benefit? So there you go. We're going to come out with our revised supplemental environmental document and follow the direction that was provided by AB 2121. And, you know, we'll look forward to working with you on that.
Steve, can I ask you one last quick question, too? Industrial stormwater permit, is that on your agenda, State Board, for final adoption?
Yes, you know, it's an active area for development. We're really, staff's really engaging board members on this, and I'm, you know, as a civil engineer, technical person, I've been, you know, I've really enjoyed the working with staff closely on some questions there. We're really trying to, you know, use the word here, calibrate, you know, our regulatory program to the challenge and being very sensitive to a lot of reporting, a lot of monitoring that may or may not be useful, right? Mm-hmm. It's always a challenge with these things. So I'm real happy about the progress we're making. This comes back, for me, having some experience as being a regulated entity, you know, it's a kind of a profound question for what it's worth. How much time do you spend doing the work, and how much time do you spend reporting about the work you did? You know, I think we could all agree we want to spend more of a person's time that's out there doing water quality protection actually doing the work as opposed to reporting about it. So that's what we take that challenge seriously. We want to structure these general permits so they encourage the work to get done that protects water quality. We want to know about it. We want accountability, but we don't want to overburden our industries in the state with a lot of reporting and monitoring that may or may not be useful. So we're trying to find that optimization.
So as you calibrate it, can you see when that comes on the agenda? I've had some questions about that, and I've seen it. It's been in public comment, as you know, for a long time, and there's been revisions to it. Do you foresee potentially when it gets to you as state board for adoption?
Yeah, it's coming. There'll be another public draft in April.
Okay.
And yeah, it is pending, but it is, you know, it's a general permit, and now I welcome folks who want to be able to have ex parte communication on general permits. That's a new thing we can do, and I welcome that input.
Steve, thank you very much.
Okay.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Good to see you all.
And we have an executive officer's report from Mr.